I'm so excited for you guys to listen to this week's episode of the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast.
So people are under the impression that soulmate love is there's an ease and a flow to it, not like a pain and a drama. So what would you say to that?
There is pain and drama. There's pain and drama. And like if you have kids or if you have a bad dog that's misbehaving, you know, you still love them. Right? Yeah. Even though you hate them and you'd like to put your fingers around their neck and crush them, it doesn't mean you don't love them. We have to be more accepting. Human beings, by their very nature, are annoying. The hardest part of life is other human beings, you know, and what you have to do is, you know, you chose somebody, they chose you, take the whole package. Keep the focus, keep the drive.
No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. Welcome everyone to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. My name is Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And we're all about the alignment, not the hustle and grind. And we have an incredible guest in the studio. I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show, Arielle Ford.
Thanks, Rebecca. I can't wait to see what kind of trouble we get into.
Absolutely. Well, let me tell my audience a little bit about you if they don't already know. Arielle Ford is known as the Cupid of Consciousness. She is a love whisperer, a best-selling author, and a relationship expert on a mission to help you find love, keep love, and be love. With 12 books to her name, including The Soulmate Secret, Turn Your Mate into a Soulmate, and Wabi Sabi Love, she has spent 30 years lighting up the personal growth world with wisdom, wit, and heart. So, and she has a new book coming out, which is in her background, if you're watching this on YouTube or on a streaming platform, called The Love Thief, which we're going to get into in a minute. But let's first talk about, this show is about helping women go from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And before we hit record, you were telling me that you used to be a very intense type A adrenaline junkie, just like me and so many other people who listen to the show. So how were you able to slow down and chill out and enjoy life more?
Yes. So I was hyper ambitious and I love to work and I especially love to make money. And every single day I made a to-do list and I loved crossing off things on my list. And if I did something that wasn't on the list, I put it on the list just so I could cross it out. That's how bad I was. And one day, my husband sat me down and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "We really need to talk." And I'm thinking, oh shit, what happened? He said, "I'm very worried about you." He said, "I'm worried that you're going to die." And I said, "But I'm not sick." He said, "Not yet." He said, "The rate at which you're working, given all that you were going through, I'm afraid you're going to get sick and die just like your sister." Because what had happened, my late sister, Debbie Ford, who was a huge best-selling author, she was on Oprah a million times, she's number one New York Times, with a book called The Dark Side of the Light Chaser. She was the shadow expert. Mm. She had just recently passed after a very long illness. And I took off about 7 weeks during that time as she was at the end of her life. But as soon as she had passed, I went back to work and I had a million things piled up. And he said, your tank is empty. You just can't keep this up. And I'm really afraid. And he's not a drama queen. Like, so the fact that we were having this conversation, like, I got it. So I went and I looked at my calendar and I saw that it was going to be really several months before I could take off any significant amount of time, given the projects that were lined up that I couldn't hand off. So finally I made a plan, and the plan was that on August 1st, I was going to shut down completely. What that looked like was no email, no texting, no phone calls, no nothing, just absolutely nothing, just me and Brian and a bat, what I called my bat phone for my mother so she could reach me because she had just lost a daughter, so I couldn't abandon her. And I thought, okay, I'll do this for 3 weeks. And I booked us at the Four Seasons Bora Bora and some other cool places and just thought, I'll go to the spa, I'll rest, I'll read some more, we'll have great dinners. And at the end of 3 weeks, I thought, oh God, this isn't enough. And so we got home by that point and I made appointments with the acupuncturist, the chiropractor, the massage therapist, sound healing, you name it. I was doing self-care to the max. And after another 3 weeks, I thought, oh, I'm really starting to like this. And it's not enough. So finally, at the end of 108 days, I called my business partners and I said, I was planning on coming back. And I see now that Brian's right, that I can't ever go back to living the way I was, that I could die. And I don't want to die, not yet anyway. And they said, okay, how many hours a week can you work? We'll take whatever you can give us. And I don't remember exactly now because this is now 13 years ago, but it was something like 15 hours a week. And mainly I was doing it because I sort of missed the excitement of some of it. And I had all these benefits that I didn't quite want to give up yet. So that was the start of my process, where I was actually number one on my to-do list every single day. And I would take care of what needed to be taken care of. And since that time, I've gotten better and better and better at it, to the degree that for the last 2 years, I haven't worked at all. And I wake up in the morning, and I have these practices that I do in bed. I do a heart math inner balance app. I have some prayer stuff. I do some focusing. I make my shopping list, you know, and then I just ask myself, what do you want to do today? Or what do you want to do first? And that's all I do. I do not plan the day. And sometimes if I don't know what I want to do, it's like, okay, what do you want to do for the next 5 minutes? So I got really good. And part of this process was to not have any deadlines or responsibilities. Now, along the way, I did a few things, and we don't have time to talk about all of them, but one involved 19 days on the cruise of a lifetime around Italy and France, which ended up with me in the ICU for 9 days with double pneumonia and COVID. That was quite a trippy experience.
You caught pneumonia on the cruise?
The second day I was there, I ended up in the ICU, like I woke up in the ICU. I didn't even know I was sick.
Those cruises can be petri dishes. I got I think they called the Nori virus or something on a cruise, and it was awful. The sickest I've ever been.
Yeah, well, this was trippy. And then in April, I went to India for 16 days to go to a wedding, one of my best friend's kid's wedding. But other than that, there hasn't been much I've been doing. And people keep saying to me, oh, you should write a book about this. And I said, that's the last thing I should do. I don't want to write another book. I've actually written 12 books. I don't want to write another book to tell people how to relax. There's so much out there on self-care already. They don't need to hear it from me. But what I've learned since then was that really it was a true addiction. I got a lot of good brain chemistry every time I would accomplish something. And my whole identity up until 13 years ago was my accomplishments. And now I realize that I don't have to have a quote unquote purpose to be on the planet, that I could be here just to be a pleasure puppy.
A pleasure puppy. I love that. Phrases, because you also coined the wabi-sabi queenager. Tell us about that phrase.
Great. Well, first I want to tell you how to be a pleasure puppy. Just okay. In case you need to know. So when women get angry, bitchy, stressed out, part of the reason they can't manage it is because their oxytocin levels are very low or on empty. Mm-hmm. Oxytocin is the love hormone, the bonding hormone. And in women in particular, there's lots of ways to build oxytocin. So some of them are getting a 20-second hug multiple times a day, petting your cat or dog, getting a massage, getting a mani-pedi, having your hair done, going shopping. Now, here's why it's so good. Because when you're shopping, and it can be in a store or online, you're feeling, tasting, touching, smelling, textures, colors. So in person, of course, it's better. But if you're shopping online, fill up your shopping cart. Don't hit buy now. Just fill up your shopping cart and it rebuilds oxytocin. So my lesson to people.
So you don't even have to buy it. Just by filling up the shopping cart, you get an oxytocin fix.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Good.
So, you know, if you are making a to-do list every day, number one on your list every day should be, how am I going to be a pleasure puppy? So if you're doing yoga or meditation or drinking green drinks, that doesn't count at all. Those are good health habits, but they aren't bringing you pleasure as something new and different would be. And it could be as simple as, you know, oh, I'm going to have my favorite piece of Dubai chocolate after dinner, or I'm going to walk around the corner and get my favorite latte if you're just making drip coffee at home. Think of one thing you can do. And if you can't think of anything, then just put on your favorite song. Like if I can't figure out what else to do, I just go to YouTube and I Google Andrea Bocelli, The Prayer, and I turn it up to high. And when I'm done, I'm happy. So being a pleasure puppy is important.
So we're supposed to find one thing every day. Pleasure. That's our number one assignment. If you're listening to this show, we got that one. That sounds fun to me. Now, I know you did a great TED Talk. I saw it last night. What is a wabi-sabi teenager? Tell our audience
that. Okay, so wabi-sabi is an ancient Japanese aesthetic that honors all things old, worn, imperfect, and impermanent, and it seeks to find beauty and perfection in imperfection. And a queenager is a woman at midlife or beyond who lives as freely as when she was a teenager. So she does what she wants to do, when she wants to do it, and she doesn't take direction from anybody else. So when you're a wabi-sabi queenager, you can just keep looking for the beauty and perfection in your own imperfections and those around you and go out having fun. And on my website, I actually have a quiz that you can take to find out what kind of queenager you are, because there's cultural queenagers and there's creative queenagers and there's, I forget what I call them. They're kind of like environmental queenagers. So you can take the test and then you can be more in your queenager lifestyle.
And tell us your website. So somebody might put this on pause and go take the test right now if they're curious.
What's my name? Arielford.com.
Perfect. Well, we are going to come back in a minute after this commercial break, and we are going to talk about why so many successful women these days seem to have everything but love. Thank you for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we'll be right back.
Let's be real. It shouldn't feel so hard to feel just functional. You eat right, you move your body, you check all the boxes, but if you're still hitting that midday crash or waking up feeling already drained, your body might need cellular support. That's where Vita Essentials comes in. It's a cutting-edge NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD, the molecule that powers your cells and fuels your energy. This isn't a quick fix. It's a long-term mitochondrial strength in every capsule. So if you want sustained energy for clear focus and real vitality, try Vita Essentials and feel that shift from the inside out. Go to the show notes to grab your discount code. I have tried a lot of skincare in my day, but nothing has felt this good. Skin to Mind isn't just about looking good, it's about feeling good in your own skin. every morning I start with Optimist, a light, refreshing spray that wakes up my skin and my mood. Then I smooth on my New Day serum, and instantly I feel brighter, more lifted, and more me. It's like showing up to your day already aligned. And at night, I melt into new night, the most luxurious part of my wind down routine. It calms me, softens me, and it helps me let go of my day while my skin drinks in an all-natural, scientifically proven product. This isn't just skincare. It's a ritual, a reset, a reminder, a return to yourself. If you're craving glow, ease, and a deeper kind of self-care, go to the show notes and grab your discount code. Skin to Mind will change the way you treat your skin and yourself. Imagine this: waking up in your own private villa, breathing in the fresh air of Ensenada, Mexico, starting your day with yoga under the open sky, followed by a gentle hike through lavender fields, then sitting down to the most nourishing organic farm-to-table meal, all while being guided through my signature 7 pillars of abundance to completely set yourself up for success, not only for the rest of 2025, but beyond. This is the Manifest Your Dream Life Retreat, a luxurious, transformative experience happening this fall at the world-class Monte Valle Resort. And because you're a podcast listener, I have something extra special just for you. You'll receive a complimentary spa massage and a vitamin drip therapy treatment, because your healing and your glow deserve priority. Spots are intentionally limited to keep it intimate and powerful, and podcast listeners get first access. So go ahead and head to the show notes and claim your spot before it sells out. This is your season to rest, receive, and manifest your dream life. See you in Mexico.
Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I am here with Arielle Ford, best-selling author, expert on many things, but especially on manifesting romantic love. Now, why is it, in your opinion, that so many women have it all, but they're having a hard time manifesting love? Do you think that love is the price that the high achiever has to pay?
Oh, I don't believe that at all. I think the problem is, there's a couple of them. I used to coach high achieving women. I'm retired from that now. But what I would find, the ones that were super successful were the ones that were willing to stop talking to their girlfriends about it, stop whining, bitching, moaning about it, and were willing to do what it takes to be visible in the world to find a man. And they were also able to embrace the fact that really fastest, easiest way to meet somebody now is online. And I know they've all tried online and all this story. Oh, I tried it. It didn't work for me.
They hate it. Yeah.
They hate it. Fine. I don't love exercising, but do I do it? Yes. Right? You don't have to like it or enjoy it, but you do have to commit to it. Because even though 90% of the men that you're going to meet online are going to disappoint you, They're going to ghost you. They'll catfish you. They're going to disappear on you. Not a good reason not to do it, because the truth is you only need one. And I'm just going to share a brief story with you that's 100% true.
Okay.
So I have a friend named Liz. Liz is super successful, earned 7 figures, well-known, well-respected. We all love Liz. Liz was 49 and never married. And she decided, okay, this is the year. I am going to commit to going on to Match.com and dating. And if at the end of 1 year I haven't found him, then I'm going to put a second mortgage on my home and spend $100,000 on a matchmaker.
Okay.
Liz went out on 79 first dates in 9 months. And this does not count the men she went out with twice. 79 first dates. Number 80, they just celebrated their 12th anniversary. He was perfect for her. And they would have never met in the wild, in the real world, never in a million years. But she committed. And she was willing to be disappointed over and over and over again. So that's what it takes. And the many of the successful women I come in contact with are absolutely not willing to make that kind of commitment. Because if you're going to go online, then you automatically need to at least carve out 30 minutes a day to be doing it and to be willing to stop thinking that I'm a nine, so he has to be a nine. And you have to really get in line with what's possible and what your values are. You know, really, do you want somebody who is going to be your best friend, your lover, your partner, take a bullet for you? Or are you going to insist that you find somebody who is age appropriate for you? And what was the other thing I was going to say about that? And is it may not be taller than you? And yes, make more money than you. And, you know, may already have an ex-wife or two and some teenagers or adult children somewhere. You know, you have to really be expansive and receptive. That said, I'm going to tell you one other story. God, I love telling stories.
I love that. Okay, we're all about hearing your stories. We're all for it.
So my father's second wife was 20 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. Really lovely woman. He put her through law school. Had nice relationship. She took care of him when he was dying. He died pretty young, like 67. 18 months after he died, she called me one day and she said, I'm ready for a new relationship. And I said, okay, Judy, talk to me. And she said, well, you know, I've been divorced and now I'm a widow, but I'm not that old. She was like 57 or something. And she said, and I'm ready. I'm ready. I said, well, what do you want? She said, okay. You know how busy I am. She said, I'm a docent at the Opera and the Symphony. I have grandchildren and grandchildren. I am in the choir. I play competitive Scrabble internationally a couple of times a year. And I'm a Mensa member. So I don't have all that much time, but what I would like is a committed relationship with a nice Jewish man who I will have dinner with on Tuesday nights and weekends, and we'll go to Israel for 2 weeks every year to volunteer on a kibbutz, and we will never commingle funds. And I said, well, you've really thought this through. You know how practical I am. She said, I like my life, and this is the one thing I want to add. I said, okay, I'm going to hold space for that. Let's just hold this vision. Online dating wasn't even a thing when this conversation happened. A month later, she calls me up. She said, I can't wait for you to meet Seth. I said, who's Seth? Seth's my boyfriend. We have dinner on Tuesday nights. We spend the weekends together. So I want you to know, Judy and Seth were a happy couple until 6 weeks ago. And the only thing that happened was Seth at 87 died.
It happens. So you teach to write down everything you want on a list and be very clear, but then you're also saying, you know, don't be so picky about height and age difference and all that. So how do you explain so the, what to write down?
The paradox, right? Okay. On the one hand, we want to be specific and have clarity mm-hmm. about what it is we desire. And on the other hand, if we're heart-centered spiritual women, we need to be detached from the outcome. So you can't say, oh God, you have to bring me this by this date, blah, blah, blah. So you have to be able to hold both. Yes, wouldn't it be wonderful if I got my entire list? And wouldn't it be even better if you surprised me and I got somebody who made me happier than I could ever imagine? And he didn't have the 37 things I thought I needed, because you don't know. And I discovered this really now that I'm in like 27th year of being married, that every day I'm still surprised by what I'm learning about Brian. And did I get 100% everything on my list? Almost. I had 48 items on my list. There were only two that I didn't get, and neither of them were really that important. So these days, what I'm trying to explain to women, especially at middle age or older, is that you have to rethink, like, what kind of relationship is my soul most calling for? And it could be when you were 32, you wanted to have a traditional monogamous marriage, white picket fence, 2.5 kids, and a golden retriever. But now at 48 or 54 or 63 or whatever, it would be great to have a committed relationship, but maybe not even live together. Maybe not even in the same city. Maybe you just manage to see each other twice a month. What is it for you that's going to make the most sense, as opposed to wanting the same wish list that you had 20, 30 years ago? So when I'm talking to women, I'm telling them, let's start with, what does this relationship look like really? Where are you living? Where is he living? What's the lifestyle? You know, clearly you're not doing what our friend Alison Armstrong says, is you are not looking for the hairy version of yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, we talked about her. And how do you want to feel around this person? Make sure you add that to your list.
Well, that's the most important thing. How do you most want to feel when you're with them? And, you know, for the most part, humans all want to be loved and accepted, most importantly. And the feeling we most need is we need to feel emotionally and physically safe.
Yes.
Those are, you know, definitely must-haves on the list. Emotionally and physically safe, feel seen and heard and accepted and respected. That's critical. But the rest of it, you know, like this one, I remember this one client I had, you know, super, super successful in the corporate world and brilliant, but 62 and never had a serious relationship, hadn't had sex in 10 years, and just decided she is going to make this happen. And she was willing. No matter what I said to her, she went and did it. I just got an email from her 48 hours ago that they're engaged. She's never been happier. He treats her like a queen. He was worth waiting for. You know, so it's all possible. But first, you need clarity. And then you need to be willing to hold a paradox.
Yeah, the paradox is having clarity and then surrendering it to God or the universe and being open-minded and open-hearted to how your partner shows up.
And where.
Yes. So what do you think the biggest myth is in our culture about attracting your soulmate?
I think one of the biggest ones is that we each only get one big love in a lifetime. That there's somehow this limit on soulmates. And I define soulmate as somebody that you can first and foremost be yourself with, somebody with whom you will share unconditional love. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. Mm-hmm. So if you accept that as a soulmate definition, then the truth is we all have many soulmates in our lives. It could be our parents, our kids, our siblings, our best friend, our coworkers, our cats, our dogs. And so rather than walking around with this feeling of love deficit, I don't have any love in my life, which we now know is not true, fill yourself up every day, fill up your love tank by reminding yourself just how much love you already do.
Yes. I think from movies like Jerry Maguire, You Complete Me, and love songs and poems, there's this myth of the one. So I love that you say we can have many soulmates. So what is the difference, in your opinion, between soulmates and twin flames?
So I'm just going to tell you my opinion on this because there's no hard evidence anywhere. As I just explained, we all have lots and lots of soulmates, and it's great to have a soulmate life partner. My understanding of twin flames is that there are two parts of the same soul, and that most of the time, twin flames do not reincarnate together. It's rare that they do. And when they do, twin flames, from what I understand, often have a harder than normal relationship, that it comes with a lot of baggage and karma. So I know people are looking for twin flames. And part of that is because we've all bought into this myth that the state of being in love is love. And it's not. The state of being in love is your brain on drugs. Some of the finest drugs you could possibly imagine. It's your brain cascading dopamine and adrenaline and oxytocin and serotonin and things I can't even pronounce. And it usually happens at the beginning. It's this high chemical attraction. It's nature's trick to get us to procreate. And we're in this state, oh God, I've never been seen or felt like this. And there's champagne bubbles going through my veins. And I love you so much. And I know we're meant to be together. And you're having this experience with a stranger. A stranger, you know nothing about them. And what's also true is this incredible drug high doesn't last.
Yeah.
Generally, it's 3 months. And if you're super lucky, 3 years. And then it goes away. Now, it doesn't mean that there aren't good feelings to love, because there are. However, this drug high is pretty much gone. Now, if we have time and you want, I can tell you tricks to recreate it for short periods of time. But basically, I call the state of being in love the socially acceptable form of insanity.
You and Shakespeare, right?
Did he say that? Did he steal that from me?
A lot of his... you know, plays are about the insanity of being in love and the crazy things that people do under that cocktail of hormones, although he did not word it that way. But I am going to cut to a break. Yes, when we come back, I want to know exactly how to reignite the spark, because you also wrote a book about how to turn your mate into your soulmate. So maybe somebody's listening and they're like, I'm kind of bored. I've been married for decades and this person is kind of feeling like a roommate or a platonic friend. Let's talk about how to spark that romance up after a quick commercial break.
Hey, achievers, know this. Just because you can't push through fatigue doesn't mean you should. We've been told that exhaustion is normal, especially in midlife, but it's not. Vita Essentials is an NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD+, boosting mitochondrial health, mental clarity, and cellular energy. This formula isn't just filler-free. It's packed with clinically selected ingredients like CoQ10, paraxanthine, and resveratrol. If you're ready to supplement smarter, not harder, then Vita Essentials is for you. Because peak performance in midlife is not only possible, it's powerful. What if your skincare did more than just smooth fine lines or give you a glow? What if it helped you feel calmer, clearer, and more like yourself every single day? That's exactly what I found with Skin to Mind, a luxurious 3-step ritual that doesn't just treat your skin, it supports your whole mental health. In just 3 easy steps morning and night, I feel like I'm giving my nervous system a reset and my skin a second chance. No overwhelm, no 10-step routine, just intentional, elevated skincare that makes you look radiant and feel deeply grounded. Because when you feel good in your skin, everything else flows. Ready to experience skincare that loves you back? Head to the show notes for your exclusive discount code on Skin to Mind and step into your new favorite ritual.
Hey there, it's Rebecca, your magnetic abundance mentor. Let me ask you something. Are you feeling stuck, burned out, or like life just isn't as juicy as you know it can be? If you're nodding right along, it's time for a breakthrough. My coaching program is designed to help you align your life in all 7 pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. So you can finally live that big, bold, sexy, and adventurous life you deserve. And here's the best part. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no sales gimmicks, just a genuine chance to experience my coaching firsthand and get crystal clear on what is next for you. Because your best life is not a someday thing, it's a right now thing. So click the link in the show notes to book your breakthrough call and let's start making magic together. Your next level is calling you. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast. I'm so glad you're here for this episode. We are talking to love expert, Arielle Ford, and she's about to tell us how to reignite a dull or platonic feeling relationship.
Okay, so what you want to do is sit down with your partner and ask them to share with you something that scares them to death. For instance, jumping out of an airplane, bungee jumping, level 4 or 5 whitewater river rafting, roller coasters, scary movies, race car driving. Find an activity where both of you could honestly say, that would scare me to death. And then I want you to go do it together at the exact same time, because what happens is adrenaline mimics the being in love story. So when you both have a shared, and it has to be shared, near-death experience, your brain's on fire, and on the way home from the airport or the bridge or the rafting, book a hotel room. Now, it's not going to last, but it is going to spark something. Because it is kind of normal that as we age, our hormone levels settle down. You know, that appetite, that sexual appetite goes away at a certain point, or it certainly mellows out. That's kind of normal. But what comes instead is the deep intimacy and the comfort and the reliability of having this partner who will take a bullet for you. So you don't get to have that extreme high, because like I said, it is the world's greatest drug high, you know, but you will have a new appreciation for the fact that you're 30 years in with this person who loves you in spite of the fact that you're now growing hair on your chin, or, you know, he can't reach his toenails to cut them. And we start devolving physically, and they love you anyway. And in spite of that.
All right, well, you heard it here. Go do something crazy, jump out of a plane, but we don't take any responsibility for injuries on this show. So what is the energetic shift that people need to go from attracting emotionally unavailable partners? I know attachment theory is really big right now.
Yes.
How can we switch from calling in someone who's emotionally unavailable to calling in someone who is secure in their attachment style?
I'm not sure about the call. I would use calling in as a way to describe it. I would say I would use discernment when you're meeting people.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're somebody who is with a man of a certain age, and he's, let's say he's 48 and he's never had a serious relationship, what else do you need to know? You think you're going to change him in some way?
You know? What about your client? She was 62 and she had never been married.
That's right. And she was willing, she was also going to therapy, and she was willing to date online and make a difference and change herself. So yes, that's true. But if you don't want to be with an avoidant unless you're an avoidant. Two avoidants together can actually work. But it's rare. But if you're a secure type and you want a secure type, then you should do that. If you're an anxious type, but you're willing to become a secure type, then you just need to give people a chance. Part of the problem with online dating, which is why I only recommend Match.com, all this swiping stuff, you're making decisions based on absolute nothing. You know, you're not giving them a chance. At least on Match, you can read their whole profile. You can see different pictures. And, you know, the moment you want to connect with somebody, do not text them. Do not spend a minute texting them. Get on the phone or get on a video chat as fast as possible. And then just be fun and ask questions and observe it. And give them a chance, because all this, oh, no, he's not for me, he's not for me. I did have this one client. We were online looking at her profile together. And she was showing me the different men that either she was interested in or they were interested in her. And there was one man in particular that she was interested in, but she said, there's a reason why I just can't do it. And I said, why? She said, well, he's a plumber. And I said, and I'm looking at the profile, and I was like, did you look at all the pictures? She said, well, no, not all of them. I said, there's a picture of him with a dozen plumbing trucks behind him. Yes, he's a plumber, and he owns the company. And did you miss the fact that he went to Stanford and that he has a beachcombing?
Wow.
Yeah. That, well, it turned out like he was quite a catch. You know, he was actually a little too snobby for her. But the fact is, that's what you're missing when you're not paying attention. So if any woman out there who's listening, if you really seriously want to find love, then get a coach. I'm sure you have coaches for your business. Get a love coach, and not just any love coach. You want a love coach who's in a happy relationship.
Yeah.
Because just like you wouldn't take financial advice from a poor person, do not take love and marriage advice from a single person. You know, okay, if they're recently divorced, I don't have a problem with people getting divorced, because sometimes even soulmate relationships have expiration dates. But do not take relationship advice from other women who are jaded and judgy and in your way, and find an expert out there who's going to hold your hand and show you what you're not seeing and encourage you to go after, you know, your biggest dream.
Exactly. Women take relationship advice from their friend who's totally jaded, negative, cynical, is constantly talking down about the opposite sex, and then they're wondering why it doesn't work. That's like hiring a personal trainer who's overweight and a chain smoker.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want that person to be your trainer. It's so important to find a coach who's in a happy, loving relationship. What do you think about this trend about open relationships and polygamy right now that's happening?
Okay, so I'm 100% anti-polyamory. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I've looked at it up close and personal with people who say they're doing it, and it never works. When there's three people in a relationship, one person's going to get booted out at some point, get their heart broken. You know, if you don't want monogamy, well, then you just need to be upfront about that. If you're still sowing your wild oats, open marriages, do they work? I don't know. Maybe they work for some people. It just would have never been my preference. It's not certainly what I didn't want, so I don't have it. But that's why you have to get back to your values. What do you want your relationship to look like? What kind of person do you want to be with? You know, what are the qualities that are most important to you? And then don't settle, you know, but also give them a chance. You know, don't decide after, you know, one coffee date, oh, this will never work. You know, like my friend Carol Allen, who is a brilliant dating coach, always says, if they don't totally gross you out on the first date, give them a second chance.
That's funny advice. Now, did you meet your husband on Match.com?
No, Match.com didn't exist.
How did you meet your husband?
So that was what got me to write The Soulmate Secret, because what happened was I woke up one morning, I was 43 years old, I was lying in bed with my eyes closed, and I was feeling around looking for my 25-pound cat, and all I got was this big, empty expanse of bed. And I had this thought was, oh shit, I forgot to get married. And I'm lying there thinking, how did I get to be 43 and not married? I have this incredible career, lots of friends, cute sports car. I own a condo in Beverly Hills. Like, I had everything, but I was alone. So I'm thinking about it and thinking about it. And I thought, well, what did I do to make my business happen? So I got out a piece of paper and I wrote 9 pages of notes of all the woo-woo manifestation, prayers, processes, rituals I did to manifest the life I was leading. And then I decided to just implement them with the focus and attention on being my love life. And sometime after that, and I can't tell you how long, because at this time I was never thinking I'm going to be a love expert or write a book. Sometime after, I went to a business meeting out of town and we met. And I knew and he knew and everybody else in the meeting knew. And 3 weeks later, we got engaged. And even though we got engaged, I said to him, we're not getting married for a year I'm quoting Dr. Pat, you know, I need 12 months, 4 seconds to know somebody, because I knew I didn't know him. You know, I knew I had this feeling like we were supposed to be together, but I didn't know him. And at this point, I wasn't about to risk everything on a stranger. So we got to know each other, and a year later, we actually had 3 weddings.
3 weddings. That's incredible. Now, what was your career that you were so successful at before you became a love coach?
At that point, I had a PR firm and a literary agency. And my clients, my PR clients, were Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Louise Hay, Wayne Dyer, Don Miguel Ruiz, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, all of them. Chicken Soup for the I launched Chicken Soup for the Soul. Like all of them.
Amazing people, yeah.
Yes.
So did you work hand in hand with Louise Hay to create Hay House?
I did not create Hay House. I was at that point doing PR for Louise and booking her on media and stuff like that. I had nothing to do with the creation of Hay House, which she and Reed Tracy built from scratch from her apartment in Santa Monica.
You were representing Louise Hay as her publicist?
Yes.
That is the who's who of transformational leaders. I love this. So you said you did all the things that you were doing in your career to be so successful to manifest your soulmate. What is the most overlooked spiritual practice to call in your love that our listeners might be missing?
I would say it's what I call my love gratitude process. So I still do this today, but with a different intention. So what the love gratitude process is you sit down with a pen and paper and you make a list of at least 10 people in your life that you love, that you know love you. And before you go out of bed, you focus your attention on your heart. You imagine seeing them inside of your heart, and then you send them a wave of love. And you do that at least with 10 different people every single day. Because when you do that, you're filling up your own love tank, but you're also in what the heart math people call love coherence. And you're sending out your electromagnetic field an additional 25 feet. So being focused on love and appreciation and gratitude every single day keeps you in the space of, I am loved. I have enough love, and I have enough love to share.
So you don't just attract love, you are love, and then who you attract mirrors what you are being. We attract from our beingness, not our doingness.
Yes.
Beautiful. So a lot of women here, like myself, we're recovering perfectionists. And you teach the principle of wabi-sabi as an art of embracing imperfection. How can we apply that principle toward ourselves?
The first thing you have to really understand is that you will never be perfect. You just never will. And nothing you do will ever be perfect enough. Mm-hmm. And who you are is enough. So you've got to just constantly, and it may be an hour by hour thing, that you're willing to live and be with good enough. You have to embrace good enough because you just can't be perfect. And even if you, the only people you want to be perfect ever is like your surgeon. You know, if they've got to take your gallbladder out, you want them to be perfect. If they're going to cut open your skull and take out a tumor, you want them to be perfect. But other than that, you have to be willing to live in a world of good enough. And, you know, it's just it's an emotional management thing. You know, do you want to get it done and have it be good enough? Or do you just want to torture yourself? I'm not perfect. You're not going to be perfect. You're never going to be pretty enough or thin enough or rich enough, but you can be good enough.
I like to say that messy is the new sexy.
Oh, I like that.
Because if I give myself the permission to be messy, then it takes the pressure off. And who wants to feel pressure? That goes back to the beginning of our interview. Like, we're recovering from that type A adrenaline, pressure. I don't want to feel that way. And that is not a spiritual way to be, because I think being spiritual is like being in the flow.
Yeah. I read an article in the New York Times yesterday about some new study that came out that said that messy is a sign of high intelligence.
There you go.
So I'm smart. I'm smart and I'm imperfect.
That's right. And if we strive for imperfection, we'll nail it every time.
Exactly.
So what's one love belief that you'd love to delete from every woman's mind right now? If you had a magic wand, you could just take that belief out.
Love belief. I would say that, I don't know if this is actually a belief, but here's what I know. You can be with your perfect partner in terms of they are perfect for you, not that they're perfect. And there will be days when you hate them, and it doesn't mean that you don't love them. Another paradox. You need to be able to live with that. So just because they're doing and being things that are highly annoying, which they will, and they won't change because they won't. Can you just love them anyway? Or as Dr. Laura Schlesinger says, if they're doing something, is this a good enough reason not to love them?
So people are under the impression that soulmate love is there's an ease and a flow to it, not like a pain and a drama. So what would you say to that?
There is pain and drama. There's pain and drama. And like if you have kids or if you have a bad dog that's misbehaving, you know, you still love them, right?
Yeah.
Even though you hate them and you'd like to put your fingers around their neck and crush them, it doesn't mean you don't love them. We have to be more accepting. Human beings, by their very nature, are annoying. The hardest part of life is other human beings, you know, and what you have to do is, you know, you chose somebody, they chose you, take the whole package, you know, and if you need help, get help. There's plenty of good couples therapists out there. It's okay. The Obamas have been in couples therapy for 20 years.
There's been rumors that they're getting divorced, but I don't believe it.
No, it's definitely not true. And both of them have addressed it, you know, because that's the society we live in. You know, because she's a strong woman who does what she wants to do, and she decides not to show up at somebody's, you know, swearing in. I can understand why she didn't go. You know, she didn't have to go. She chose not to go. I actually admire her for that. But, you know, find a couple or two who have the kind of marriage or relationship that you envy and spend more time with them. You know, start adopting some of their practices. It's not that hard. In order to have a good long-term relationship, you need a couple of things. You need connection, compatibility, some chemistry. It doesn't have to be off the charts. Some chemistry is nice. Communication that can be learned, thank God. And, you know, you have all of that and then a willingness to share each other's lives, to be there for each other, to be a witness for each other's lives, and understand there'll be good days and bad days, you know, and it's okay to want to kill them every once in a while. Just don't really do it.
Exactly. Well, we are going to do one more quick break. And when we come back, we're going to hear all about your new book, The Love Thief, and where we can find it. You're listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. It's Rebecca Whitman taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Ariel, where can people find The Love Thief, and what is your new book about?
Great. Well, it's at the website, thelovethief.com, and it's a romantic spiritual thriller with a very juicy revenge subplot and a very fun surprise ending. And as it says in the beginning of the book, this book was inspired by actual events. Names have been changed to protect both the guilty and the innocent. And it's going to be a streaming series one of these days. The contracts are in final negotiations. So you'll be able to see it home on TV one of these days. But it's the story of a woman, a 38-year-old woman, whose entire life, all she wanted was the white picket fence. And she's now 38, not a guy in sight. She's trying to figure out if she has enough money to freeze her eggs, and she's desperate, just desperate. And then, voila, magically, she meets him. She meets Prince Charming under a fireworks at a big gala, and she's madly in love, and everything's going great. Nobody's ever seen or heard her or taken care of her like this guy has. And things are great until they're not. And she eventually finds out that he's a sociopath, toxic narcissist. He breaks her heart, crushes her dreams. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And as part of her healing, she ends up in India and begins to have these most magical, mystical healing experiences. So it's a great story about love and loss and resurrection and romance. And what else can I tell you about it? I'll tell you my favorite line in the book.
Tell us.
In Rishikesh, she has this man who's a retired professor of psychology who now owns a spiritual bookstore. And every morning she goes to his bookstore to have chai with him for her caffeine fix, because in India, there's no Starbucks open at 8 a.m. And one day he's explaining to her what love really is and isn't. And he explains to her what she's been through and what she needs to do to heal. And she says to him, "But did he ever love me?" And he looks at her and he says, "Asking a man like this to love you is like asking a man with no arms to hold you. Simply impossible."
That is deep. So obviously this character is love avoidant and he's not able to love.
Well, he's a sociopath. He has no capacity for empathy. It's not possible. But what he is capable of doing, and what he and others like him do, is they target successful women.
Yes.
They go after successful women because they want money and they want status, and they're generally fun to be with and opportunity. But then, and they know that these successful women have provided themselves with everything they could possibly want except romance. So they know the words to use to whisper in their ear. They know how to romance them. And they give them, they think, "Oh my God, this is everything I have wanted to hear, everything I ever wanted." And then they take it all away.
Yes. I have been in a relationship like that. Have you?
I don't know any woman who hasn't.
At least a certain type of woman.
Yeah.
High achieving women, yeah. Like the ones who listen to the show. Well, where can we grab the book? Is it going to be on Amazon?
It's on Amazon and all the online bookstores. It's in some bookstores, not 100% of all of them, but some. And the easiest way to get it is just go to thelovethief.com, because if you click on one of those buttons there, there are bonuses that you can go back and grab that are very cool.
And it's out. We can go to thelovethief.com today.
Yes.
The book and the bonuses. Yay. So this has been an amazing conversation, Arielle. I know my listeners are going to want to stay in touch with you. Can you give us your website and your social media handles?
Sure. It's, what is my Instagram? I think it's at Arielle, A-R-I-E-L-L-E, underscore author at Instagram. Yep. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/soulmatesecret. And the website is my name, arielleford.com. And I'm pretty easy to find. I have a YouTube channel. Oh, yes. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/arielleford. And I have a TED Talk. But for that, you have to go to YouTube and Google Arielle Ford plus TEDx. And that comes up.
I love your TED Talk.
Thank you
so much, Arielle, for being on the show. This has been an incredible conversation. And thank you, listeners, for being a part of this movement that you can achieve happiness and success through aligning your life in 7 pillars of abundance: spiritual, physical, emotional, romantic, mental, social, and financial. Remember, it's about alignment, not the hustle and grind. Don't forget to go to my Instagram, DM me what was your biggest takeaway from the show. This is going to be a streaming live video on Instagram. You can comment on it and ask Ariel another question, and we'll make sure to circle back and get your questions answered about love, relationships, or anything that we discussed on the show. I'm really excited to hear your feedback. Thanks, everyone, for listening and making this show the success that it is. We've been in the top 60 shows on Apple Podcast charts this week. We're so excited to be top 60 in education out of millions of podcasts. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the show. And remember, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
Have you ever opened your eyes and already felt drained or hit a wall by 2 p.m. even after doing all the biohacks? You're not alone. Thousands of us are walking around with low cellular energy and we don't even know it. That's why I take Vita Essentials. It's a high quality NMN supplement that helps your body naturally produce NAD+, the molecule that powers your mitochondria, brain, and body. One or two capsules a day equals long-term energy, clarity, and strength from the inside out. Because running on empty is not a vibe I'm bringing into this next chapter, go ahead and grab a discount in the show notes. Most skincare only cares about what you see in the mirror. But Skin to Mind is the first of its kind, a luxurious three-step ritual that works not just on your skin, but on your mind. It's the first skincare line to explore the skin-brain axis. It's been scientifically shown to help women feel 94% happier and calmer. Let that sink in. This isn't just about glowing skin. It's about feeling more grounded, more radiant, more you. And it only takes three simple steps morning and night. No overwhelm, no guesswork. Just an elevated, luxurious ritual that helps you reset, restore, and reconnect. Because beauty isn't just skin deep, it's soul deep. Go ahead and go to the show notes and grab yourself a discount code and try Skin to Mind for yourself. Your skin and your nervous system. Well, thank you. You guys, here's what I really love about Vita Essentials. It's not hype. It's cellular science you can feel. Most NAD plus supplements don't actually work because your body can't use NAD directly. The molecule is too big. Vita Essentials gives you NMN, the bioavailable precursor your body needs to make real, usable NAD plus for energy and cellular repair. The result? Clearer thinking, more strength, less crash. So if you're tired of being tired, support your energy at the source, your cells. Go to link in show notes to grab your discount code.